Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 10th chapter, beginning with the 46th verse. And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, rise, he is calling you." And throwing off his mantle, he sprang up and he came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Master, let me receive my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed him on the way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Mighty God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. It's in Jesus' name that we pray, and let us all pray. Amen. I've got a bottle of Evian water here. I just got it this morning, and a little bit later on, I'm going to have you tell me what it's worth. Bottle of Evian water. Today's scripture lesson is a story from the Gospel of Mark about a blind man who begs alongside of the road. And you got to get this picture, someone at that time who's blind and begging, and they're along the side of the road. It means that they're alongside of the road, but it also symbolizes other things, that they've been pushed aside, that they've been marginalized, that they've been forgotten. And maybe there's some of us who are here today, and there are times in our lives when we admit, "I felt like that. I felt like I've been pushed aside. I felt like there were opportunities that were passing me by. I felt like I wasn't good enough. I felt like I was no good." And so I find myself sitting on the side of the road, and it's kind of like one of those Dion.
If you see me walking down the street and I start to cry each time we meet, walk on by. Walk on by.
Walk on by is what every single person would do in their life. And just think about how that makes you feel. If every time someone came by, they just walked on. But I've got good news today, and the scripture tells us that the good news is this, that Jesus doesn't just pass us by. The good news in our life is that Jesus comes along and that Jesus ministers to us, with us. Today's scripture lesson, Jesus is passing by on the side of the road, and he stops for us. It doesn't happen too often in our society. My mother always told me ever since I was young, don't pick up hitchhikers. Don't do it. You never know what they're going to do. But for the most part, I followed that in my life. I didn't pick up hitchhikers until one day I gave a ride to a man that I just met. As he got into my car, I had come from the church here, and I had a plate that had a little plastic knife on it. And I said to him as he got in, I said, "Please don't worry about that knife there." And he looks at me in a gruff voice and says, "You think that's a knife?" He shuts my door and he says, "That's not a knife. This is a knife." And he pulls out this huge blade. Now, all of a sudden, I was like, "Oh my gosh, my mom was right. Never give hitchhikers. You never know what they're going to do," right? I was scared to death. I was like, "Okay, Lord, here I come. I'm coming home to you, Lord." That man was Carl Erlenbaugh. He became one of my best friends and one of the best blessings that this church has ever known. But at first, I was blind to the blessing of who Carl was, right? Maybe some of you were blind as well. I could only see a homeless man. I could only see someone who was marginalized. I could only see what looked wrong about him instead of what was right. Now, I'm not telling you this story so that you go out and pick up hitchhikers. Don't do that. My mom was probably right. You never know what they're going to do. But there's an old proverb that says this: a blind person who sees is better than a seeing person who's blind. Think about that. Say that with me. A blind person who sees is better than a seeing person who's blind. And sometimes we fail to really see each other. Every person that we meet is someone who is created in the image and likeness of God, regardless of their race, their creed, orientation, their ability, or their disability. We need to open our eyes and see the value of the people that are around you. Here's what our scripture lesson says, Mark 10:47. And when he, being Bartimaeus, heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, what? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now let's go back. It says this, and when he, Bartimaeus, did what? When he heard. Bartimaeus was born blind, and yet he was able to hear. And this is important because so often we focus on what we don't have, and we miss what we do have. We focus on our don't haves instead of our do haves. And I love the saying to focus on what you have, not what you don't have. I don't have enough tools. I don't have. I don't have the athleticism. I don't have the money. I don't have the looks. We could go on and on and on about we don't have, right? I'll admit something to you personally. I don't have a great ability at remembering people's names. And it was especially bad because I'm in the profession of being a pastor, and my first senior pastor here was who? Bert Kite. And Bert Kite was the master. I mean, Bert Kite could tell you who your grandmother's mother's son was. I mean, she was great. He was great at that, right? But instead of me fixating on, oh, I don't have this, or I can't remember that, you know what? I'm just thankful for the people that God has placed around me that are able to help me out so that when I can't remember someone's name, I can just lean over and say, okay, what's so-and-so's name, right? Thank you, Stephanie, for helping me this morning with that. Not the greatest with names, but I'm grateful for what God has given me. The Apostle Paul said this in Romans 12:6-8. We have different what? Gifts. According to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophecy, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's to give, then to give generosity. If it's to lead, do it diligently. And if it's to show mercy, do it how? Cheerfully. What Paul is saying is don't focus on your don't haves and start focusing on your do haves. And that's the beauty of being involved in a team. The beauty of being involved in a team is we have different gifts and we can rely upon each other. And God is able to take the resources that we all do have and weave them together and make something beautiful. What do you have? I want to give you an example. I went and saw a glass blower, and ever since I saw a glass blower and how they're able to take material and pull something out of it, it's just fascinated me. And I want to show you a video of a glass blower at work.
get a top 50, see a 2-minute version of what we just did. Well, I'm sorry, I'm moving around 90 degrees right now. But you see, it's starting to get much more stiffer now. Means I got cooled down. So amazing, it's so fascinating. And I think you point out this is exactly the exact same thing that we're doing. Not really much of a difference here.
Isn't that amazing? That is worthy of. You know, that glass probably never knew that it had that within him. Never had the idea that something so beautiful so quickly could be pulled out of him. And then here's another part of that. God is able to take us when we don't look like much, and God can shape and form us into something beautiful. But that's not all. Glass blowers will tell you that sometimes in the midst of working on things, the glass will either bubble or might even form a crack. And you know, we would think, oh, it's wasted, it's done, throw it away. But the glass blowers will tell you, no. Instead of saying that the crack or the bubble makes it ruined, they'll use the crack and form something else. What was going to be a cup will become a vase or a plate. What was going to be a horse becomes a something completely different. And the master blower is able to use even the imperfections to make something great. You don't just focus on the cracks, but you're able to make something brand new. And I believe that that's what God does in our lives. There are places in our lives when we've been twisted and God has begun to do a new thing in it. We so focused on what happened in the past that we can't see the new thing that God is doing. Someone will say, I was going to be a teacher. I was going to teach students, but crack! I got fired and now I've got no purpose. I was going to be a great wife and a great mother. But I got crack. I got a divorce. I was going to be this great business person, and everything was just going to go perfect, but then crash. I went bankrupt. And we're so focused on the cracks, we're so focused on the loss, that we don't see what God is doing, how he's working all things together for good. God is doing something great in our lives, but we need to change our focus. There's this guy I follow on YouTube. His name is Matthew McCoy. And in high school, Matthew McCoy was going to be a star football player. He had scholarships his senior year to go and play college football. But his senior year, he had a career-ending injury in his leg. And so he's laid up in the hospital, and he's feeling horrible. He's feeling bad. He's thinking about all the dreams that he had for his future and how they're all gone. And someone gives him a guitar. Well, Matthew starts to play the guitar, and he just loves playing the guitar. Then he starts making videos of teaching other people how to play the guitar. And then at the end of each video, he shares a testimonial or a Bible verse. And in one of them, he tells this story, and he says, you know what? I never knew that my real purpose for my life would be to share the gospel through music. He said, if you had told me on the day that my was crushed, that God had something different and even better in store for me, I would never have believed you. But now I can see what he was always preparing in my life. And challenge for us to be able to have the eyes to see God at work in our lives and in the lives of others that sometimes we push aside. Bartimaeus was able to see that. He seized a hold of the opportunity. He grabbed what was in front of him, and he said, Son of David, have mercy on me. He stopped making excuses and started making opportunities. He stopped with the rationalizations and started making memories. Bartimaeus cries out, and at first the people around him, they try to hush him. Shh, be quiet! Remember, you're marginalized. Remember, you're on the side. Remember, you're not good enough. Be quiet. You're messing things up. But he wouldn't stop. He kept yelling. And Jesus tells the very people who were telling him to be quiet, he tells those people to do what? Bring him to me. And isn't that interesting? I think that sometimes God will use the very people who are marginalizing you, who are pushing you aside, to be the people who deliver you to him. And maybe this is a word for us as a church today. Sometimes the church can hush. Sometimes the church can push others to the side. Sometimes the church can devalue and not see the worth of others. But Jesus will one day work it so that the very church that has turned its eye or its back on others will be the very system that brings others to Christ. Jesus asks this very powerful question. What do you want me to do for you? Can you say that with me? And Jesus said to him, do you want me to do for you? This is the question that I'd ask for us to think about, and wanting to see if we might be able to do this message interactively together. First of all, let me just say this. There is absolutely no wrong answer. And maybe no one's got an answer to what they would say. And that's all right, too. I thought maybe we'd wanted to discover together, what is it that we ask our Lord and Savior to do for us? Is there someone who would share? Mrs. Vicky, thank you. No, I'm just playing. Bobby, you've got a loud voice. You come up then. All right. If Jesus was standing in front of you and he said, Bobby,
what'd you say? Whatever way he sees that to be.
All right, please restore my family members to wholeness, whatever that might be. Okay, Judy J. I don't think I'm going to make it, Judy J. Yeah.
If Jesus was standing in front of me right now, I would ask him to reassure me that he is my rock, he's my redeemer. And he is the one who's got the healing power. And I'm the one who has to believe him.
Right.
And give it to him, all of it, because it's his glory.
Amen. Amen. It's like song we sing, this blessed assurance. Give me blessed assurance. Maybe there's someone else. Mary Walston. Wait. You recognize. Let's get these.
Lord, that I might be together with you in your
kingdom.
All right, say that one more time, please.
Lord, that I might be together with you in your kingdom.
Amen, amen, amen. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? Jesus was standing in front of you. What would you ask? Well, thank you all for participating with me in asking that question. And you know, just because we're done in this part doesn't mean that you can be done. Maybe in our time the fellowship, maybe you'll ask that question or tell each other the question that you were thinking. So there's two things that I want to think about with this. And the first one is, have you asked that question of Jesus in prayer? Have you prayed about it? Because one of the blessed things is that in prayer, we get to go before the throne of our Lord and Savior. And we're called to make our requests known unto the Lord. And so think about, this isn't just a hypothetical, but we get a chance to do that every day, to go to the Lord in prayer. And then here's the second thing that I was thinking about this, because I was thinking about what would I say and what would be an thing that I would want Jesus to do. And here's the second point. Jesus was on the way to give Bartimaeus, you and I, the greatest gift that the world has ever received. Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem to do what? To become the perfect sacrifice. Now, I think about it this way. So he's on the way and he stops for a moment. And Bartimaeus asks him, would you do this important thing for me. And Jesus says, okay, I'm going to do that. And your faith has made you whole. But guess what? There might have been other beggars on the side of the road. And we might say, Jesus, you stopped for Bartimaeus, but why didn't you stop for the others? And Jesus might say, you know what? I did. I did. For every beggar, for every person marginalized, for everyone who's ever felt forgotten, I stopped by them. But the way I did it was by going to the cross. By going to the cross to be the ultimate sacrifice, to die for their sins, to be that bridge that when sin separates you and a holy God, that I was able to help bring you together. The greatest gift that we've ever received, greater than the gift of even our sight, is the grace of Jesus Christ. And when we receive that, when we receive his amazing grace, we're able to say, I once was lost, but now am found. I was blind, but now I see. And Bartimaeus cries in Mark 10:51, Master, let me receive my sight. He uses the Greek word Rabboni, which means master, a savior. It means Lord. And so here, Bartimaeus is able to see who Jesus is, even when others can't. And so the thing that he's devalued for or marginalized for is he can't see, and yet he's got a sight and a faith that is greater than the people that are even hanging around with Jesus each and every day. Here's what I want to say. When we see Christ as our Lord and Savior, we find a value in him and in ourselves that the world didn't give to us and the world can't take away. Jesus says, Mark 10:52, go your way, your faith has made you well. Go your way. And which way did Bartimaeus choose to go? Follow Jesus. Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself daily, pick up his cross, and follow me. And this is exactly what Bartimaeus does. And for some of you, I'm hoping that this is exactly what happens to you too. I hope that you follow Jesus and see yourself in a brand new way. I hope you're able to look in the mirrors and not see the cracks and the blemishes, but you're able to see an amazing creation of God. I hope you look in the mirror and focus not on what you don't have, but focus on what you do have. You are made in the image and likeness of God, and you are wonderful. We clap for a piece of molded glass that a human glass blower made in less than a minute and a half. And yet we walk by the people that have been made in the image of a holy and righteous God, and we fail to see their value. I've got a bottle of Evian water. And I ask you to tell me, how much do you think it's worth? Anybody give me a dollar? Give me a dollar for, huh? $3.79. Okay, yeah, you've been shopping. $5. Wow. Man. $2. Okay. It's yes, right. It's water. Tell you, so today, this morning, I spent $2.50 on this bottle of water. But if I were at Disney World, $7.50, right? If I was at the Super Bowl, right? How much would this same bottle of water be, right? $10, right? It's the exact same bottle of water, right? And yet, depending upon the circumstance, the amount changes. I hope you know that I figured something out. Evian, spelled backwards, is naive. And sometimes that's what we feel like. Why would someone pay so much for just water? That's crazy. Can I tell you something? If you're an astronaut, you're going to the moon. Do you know how much this bottle of water would cost? More than $10,000. In certain circumstances, this bottle of water could be the difference between life and death. What if you're in a desert and you're stranded? How much would this bottle of water be worth then to you? If your child was dying of dehydration, how much would this bottle of water be worth to you? In certain circumstances, this bottle of water can be priceless. Now let me tell you something else. In all circumstances, you are priceless. In all circumstances. Why? Because the worth of something is based upon what someone is willing to pay for it, right? What are you willing to pay for it? And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You were bought with a high price, not with gold or with silver, but with the very blood of Jesus Christ, and you are priceless. My hope and my prayer is that God gives us the eyes to see what we're really worth, what the people that are really worth around us are. Don't look at what you don't have or what they don't have, but look at whose we are. Amen.